The text of Scripture I'd like us just to focus our thoughts upon today is the verse number 15 of Psalm 116, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Now today I want us just to conclude our study of the precious things of Scripture. Over the recent weeks and number of months, we've been looking at the word precious as we find it in different parts of the Bible. We want just to bring that study to a conclusion today. And in doing so, I want us to consider together the precious home calling of the believer. You see, whenever the Christian dies or leaves this world, yes, there is much sadness for loved ones who are left behind. There is much pain, there is much hurt, there is much sorrow and grief and heartache. Well, whenever a Christian, a believer, leaves this world, their departure does not go unnoticed by the Lord. And in His love and in His grace, God has some very comforting words to say about the passing of His people from this world. And you find those words in our text today in verse number 15 of Psalm 116, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." And these words really mean that God considers the passing of His people from this world to be a momentous event. And why that event is so important, that in this life, God watches over His people to prevent their death. Also in this life, He keeps His people alive until their earthly work is finished or completed or done upon this scene of time. And also in this life, God is one who will avenge His people when they die through violence of ungodly men or through the persecution of the ungodly themselves. Indeed, the Lord says in His word that the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. However, in doing all this on the behalf of His own bride, His own people, a day must come, should the coming of the Lord tarry, when His people must leave this world, must leave this scene of time. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and it is this most solemn event. Yes, this most momentous event in the lives of God's people that our text is referring to and dealing with here in verse 15 of this lovely psalm, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His sins." By the passing from this scene of time of the believer, it is something that is very precious to God. Yes, it is a glorious event, even in the life of the believer and in the life of the child of God. It is something exceedingly precious to God. And I want us to see that today, to grasp this great truth, that when a believer leaves this world, it is something very, very precious to God and to the Savior. My, there are three things I want you just to note today, why the believer's death is so precious to the Lord. First of all, I want you to notice that the believer's death is precious because it means the homecoming of God's child. Why, whenever a person buys something in a shop, and what do they do with that item that they've paid for? They bring it home because it belongs to them. It is now their purchase. Ladies, you love to shop, and I'm sure there's been occasions when you've went to a shop, maybe a clothes shop or something, or maybe a grocery shop or whatever, and you've paid for something, and you've paid the money for that item that you've purchased, and maybe through conversation or something else, you've left that item behind you in the shop or wherever, on the counter or whatever. You get home and you realize You've left it behind you. What do you do? You go back to the shop and you speak to the shop owner or the lady in the counter or whatever. And you bring that item home. You bring that good, whatever it is, you bring it home. Why? Because you've purchased it. You've paid for it. Because it belongs to you. Well, what of the Lord and His people? The Lord Jesus Christ is one who has purchased all His people by His redeeming blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. What does it say in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19? For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. And it's because of that wonderful redemption through the blood of Christ. Because of this redemption, it's a very precious thing to the Lord. When His people depart this life, and when His people enter safely into heaven, by their entrance into heaven, it is but their homecoming, their gathering to their eternal home. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth about this very fact? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And dear people of God in the meeting this morning, our death, our passing from this scene of time, it means our homecoming, our gathering to our eternal home. It means our home calling. And can I say that this homecoming of the believer is something that Christ is praying for. Something Christ prays for. Turn in your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter 17, and the verse number 24, and you'll see this, how Christ prays for the home calling, the homecoming of all His redeemed people. Look at John chapter 17 and the verse number 24. And here Christ is praying. It's His high priestly prayer. It's really a picture of His prayer for the saints in heaven. And He says, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me," that's His sea of people, notice His prayer, "that they be with Me where I am," where is Christ in glory, "that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me." There you see how Christ prays for the homecoming, the gathering of all His people in glory with Himself. And Christ's prayers are always answered. There's no prayer of Christ that is never unanswered. And this means that at death, no believer can ever be lost in hell. All will safely arrive home in heaven. Whenever the Christians of a certain tribe in Africa died or passed away, their sea of loved ones would say with triumphant joy that they have arrived. That was something that they said. And they knew that their sea of loved one had arrived home in heaven, to their eternal home, to their eternal resting place. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, let this truth sink into your heart and into your soul today, that the death of every believer, every child of God, it means that they are going home to glory. It means they're homecoming. You think of the words of the hymn writer. She could say, "I know there's a crown that is waiting, and yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the spirits made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be." And she knew when she penned those words, when she would leave this world, that she would be at home with the Lord, at home with our Savior. Child of God, whenever your loved one dies in Christ, remember this, that they are being called home. Called home to glory. Called home to their eternal home. And likewise, when you and I die in Christ and leave this world with Christ as our Savior, we too will be called home to glory. called home to heaven, as the Bible says, we shall be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes, death for the born-again Christian is but the porter that opens the door to their eternal home, their eternal reward in glory, their homecoming. But we can say further this morning that the believer's death is precious because it has no sting, indeed no terror, for the child of God. The believer's death has no sting, no terror for the believer. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the great chapter of the resurrection. And I want you to see what Paul says, especially about this that we're looking at today at the end of this chapter, about the sting of death being removed for the believer. Go down to verse number 55 and verse 56 and verse 57 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice there the words of Paul as he writes here. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? When Paul quoted these words here at the end of this chapter, well, by his sacrificial death upon the cross, that is Christ, by his glorious resurrection, what did Christ do for his people? By his death, his atoning death, by his glorious resurrection, he extracted the sting of death for his people. He took away that sting. And my, he defeated the victory of the grave over the believer, over his children. That leads us to ask, what is this sting of death that Paul talks about here? What is this victory of the grave that he refers to here? The sting of death, the victory of the grave that he alludes to there at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 55 really refers to eternal judgment and hell for the sinner. Whenever he or she dies, however, through Christ's atoning death upon the cross of Calvary, through his glorious resurrection, what has Christ done for his people? He has removed the sting of death. He has removed the victory of the grave over the child of God. Hence, no believer in Christ will ever face eternal judgment for their sin and hell, because Christ has removed the sting of death and the victory of the grave. And my, it was because of this reality that David the psalmist could look, as it were, death in the face. And he could say those tremendous words of Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why, he knew that because of Christ, the sting of death for him was gone, and the victory of the grave for him was taken away because of Christ. Why, whenever Martin Luther, the great reformer, was leaving this scene of time, he says, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. He had no fear of judgment. Why? Because his faith was in Christ. He was resting in the atoning sacrifice of Christ for his salvation. And likewise, child of God, by faith in Christ as Savior, there is no sting or no terror for the grave for you, because that has been abolished. It has been taken away through Christ. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, by faith in Christ and his blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins, dear believer, you shall escape the judgment to come. You shall be sure of heaven. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18? For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The hymn writer could say, no condemnation Now I dread because of Christ. Because the sting of death through Christ is removed. And the terror of the grave is taken away through Christ. He have abolished death. The Bible says he have brought light and immortality to light through the gospel. But we can say thirdly this morning that the believer's death is precious, for it means the commencement for them of eternal life in heaven. You remember what Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21? He could say, to die is gain. My unearthly believer must contend with Satan. You and I as believers have to contend here on earth with Satan, with sin, with the ungodly world. And along with this here in this life, the believer, he faces frailty of body. He faces sickness, trials, sufferings, sorrow, separations of one kind or another. But in heaven, all these will be gone. Gone forever. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter 21 and look with me just at what John shows us and tells us about heaven in verses 3, 4, and 5. It's, if you like, a little snapshot of heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. John says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death." Many things in this life cause you and I tears. Those tears will be wiped away in heaven. "And there shall neither be any sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Right, for these words are true and faithful." Go on down to verse 23 of the same chapter. Look at what it says there about heaven. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Notice there's no darkness in heaven. This world is a dark world, but there's no darkness in heaven. And then look at verse 27, the final verse of the chapter, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." It talks here about those things that defileth, that is sin. And this world is defiled by sin in every quarter. But may there be no sin in heaven. Place of perfect purity, as we were singing about God earlier on. Freedom from all sin and all iniquity. It'll all be gone in heaven. And dear believer, in our meeting this morning, this is what you will gain in heaven. This is what lies before you and lies before all God's people. Heaven will be the complete contrast, the complete opposite to everything that we have known here on earth. Because of the fall and the curse of sin and the fall of man upon this earth. But in heaven, that will all be gone. The curse of sin will be removed from heaven. Will not be there. And heaven, dear believer, your sanctification will be complete. It will be perfected. For you and I who are saved, heaven will be a place of perfect joy. That's what the Bible tells us. The psalmist, speaking of heaven, could say, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." There are many things here on earth that will spoil our joy. But our joy in heaven will be perfect. Also, heaven, we shall be perfectly free from inbred sin. Yes, even in this life as God's people, you and I are troubled by sin within and without, but that will be gone in heaven. Again, the psalmist, speaking of heaven, could say, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." We will be perfectly like Christ in heaven. And then in heaven our service and indeed our worship of God will be eternal, will never end. And it will be without hindrance. We love, yes, to serve the Lord here on earth. We love to worship the Lord here on earth and come together on the Lord's day around His Word. And that's a great blessing to be cherished and prized. But there are things here on earth, even legitimate things, that can hinder that. But that will all be gone in heaven. Our service and our worship of God will be eternal in glory. It will be perfect. The Bible speaks of those in heaven in Revelation 7, verse 15, and says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You know, it's a blessed thing when the Lord dwells near His people. Draws very near in public meetings such as this and other gatherings. But what must it be to be in heaven when the Lord dwells there amongst His people in all His fullness and all His glory? Is it any wonder the hymn writer penned those words, what must it be to be there? What must it be to be there? Oh, is it any wonder that John wrote those tremendous words in Revelation when he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. It's only the believer who's blessed in death. The unbeliever is not blessed in death. But the believer is truly blessed in death. My speaking of heaven, the hymn writer could say, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy, golden shore. What a day, glorious day. That will be, O believer in Christ, you who are saved. When you leave this world, you will gain everlasting life. The great prize of your redemption will be yours for all of eternity and all of its fullness. You shall gain the glory of heaven. This world is not our home. What a home you and I have to look forward to. One final thought, and it is simply this, that the believer's death is precious because it brings deep satisfaction to the Lord Himself. When the believer passes from this world, it brings deep, deep satisfaction to the Lord. You turn in your Bible back to Isaiah 53, and you'll see this from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53, and go down to verse number 11 of the chapter. Notice the opening words there, verse number 11 of Isaiah 53. And this is a tremendous chapter all about the redeeming work of Christ for His people and the blessing of that work, not only to His people, but even to God Himself and to Christ Himself. And look at what is said about Christ in verse number 11, the beginning of it, in Isaiah 53. It says, with Christ there He shall see of the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. When it talks there about the travail of His soul, it's talking there about the awful sufferings of Christ on the cross. The awful agony of Christ on the cross when He was stricken, not only by man, but stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. When He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And it says there, He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. In other words, when His child is brought home to glory, the Savior sees there that His awful agony and shame upon the cross, and we say this most reverently this morning, that it was not in vain when He cried out on the cross, it is finished, and gave up the ghost and poured out His life as a ransom to God for sinners. Why, when a believer enters into glory, he sees his children, whom he has redeemed, whom he has loved with an eternal love, whom he has died for. He sees them being brought home into heaven, into glory. And this is really something that we cannot understand with our own finite minds here on earth, but it brings great joy, great jubilation, great satisfaction to the very heart of Christ Himself. Think of how Christ illustrates that joy for you and I in His lovely parable of the lost sheep. When he tells about the shepherd going to find that one sheep that was lost, and he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home. And what does he say as he brings that wandering sheep home? He says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost." Oh, does not the Bible tell us and speak to us about joy in heaven? Joy even amongst the very angels of heaven. And sinners are saved, and so it is when those saved are brought into heaven, into glory itself. Oh my, when the believer enters glory and leaves this world, Christ rejoices that the number of his redeemed, those whom he has died for, gave every drop of his blood for, that they are being completed in heaven, that they've been gathered in to glory. Yes, when the child of God departs this scene of time, yes, we mourn their passing, and rightly so. But the Bible says that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Why? Because they've gone home to heaven, gone home to glory. If we too are saved in this meeting this morning, then we will meet with them one day in glory. And we shall recognize them one day in glory. Think of what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, he says, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Paul there was speaking to believers whom he was never to see again here on earth. But he was looking forward to meeting with them in heaven and in glory. He was rejoicing that he would meet with those believers again in heaven's glory forevermore. Yes, can I say this morning that the believer, and the believer only, has hope in death. My, it was Susanna Wesley who said, "Children, when I am gone, sing a song of praise to God." Because she was going home to heaven, going home to glory. She was looking forward to glory. And likewise, dear believer in Christ, in our meeting this morning, you too can look forward with hope to eternal joy, eternal glory of heaven. What does it say here in our little text this morning? That precious in the sight of the Lord is the death, the passing, the parting of his saints. But what of you who are still unsaved in our meeting this morning? Let me say this, you have no hope of heaven and death if you die in your sin. You die unconverted. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. If you die unsaved and die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, then your eternal portion will be judgment. Everlasting torments in that place which the Bible calls hell and describes as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let me say to you, and we say it lovingly to your heart and soul today, if you are to escape that awful end, then now in time you must flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him and trust him. And what does the Bible say? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Through Christ, through him alone, through faith in him as Savior. You too can have this great hope of heaven, this great hope of glory that we've been thinking about today when we've looked at the precious home calling of the child of God. We're going to close our meeting this morning.